This week's episode of Calling Out with Susan Pinsky is courtesy of Bergafem. Tonight's episode is Sarah Winchester and the Winchester Mystery House. It's Drunk History with Susan Pinsky. Oh
Welcome to Calling Out with Susan Pinsky. A place where Susan can introduce to you psychics, clairvoyants, past lives, and paranormal experiences. Now, here's your host, Susan Pinsky.
We're back with a drunk history with Calling Out with Susan Pinsky. We have kind of a fun episode tonight. We have two psychic mediums and a half here tonight, the better half. AJ Barrera is here with us. He was on the recent Calling Out with Susan Pinsky with Christine and Tom, which was last week, and I'm sure you guys all enjoyed that. That was pretty awesome. Hi, AJ. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you for having me back again.
What's new by you?
You know, ghosts and stuff.
Just ghosts? Yeah, taking ghost hunts in scary houses in San Jose, California. And then I also have Psychic Rebel Colby because she's just got her first glass of Chardonnay and we're going to all have a little drunk history night.
Right.
Because our special producer is Jennifer Musil. And Jennifer is an expert on the Winchester Mystery House. And I have to say, this woman in San Jose, California, in the turn of the century, built a $5 million castle to keep ghosts out of her life. And it's really interesting, but I am going to let Jennifer open up and tell us the history.
All right.
Because she's had about five glasses of wine.
One bottle, maybe.
One okay. bottle. But four I glasses. With
I have always wanted to have Derek Waters on my show, and maybe this will be the one that gets him on. I actually got an email from his girlfriend, so there's always
Welcome
a
pump. Throws me under the bus.
So...
No, it's great. Thank you, Susan. Thank
and
you
I love
me.
Drunk history, by the way. So
do I.
And then also later, we're going to have a really touching caller call in, and I look forward to you guys giving a psychic reading. But
mediumship.
Just to mix it up a little bit, AJ and Jude. Wait, is Judy here?
Oh, I'm not Jewish for sure. I mean,
and Jen went to San Jose to visit this very haunted, ghostly house. And, you know, everybody, I always want to take field trips and do that kind of thing and do podcasts about it. But I want you guys to explain your experience there. And first, we'll let Jennifer tell the history.
Well, AJ truly was the main attraction at this event. But when I was going into this, I didn't do any research. I didn't know what the Winchester Mystery House was. And so when I got there, it was really like a field trip for me because I wanted to know everything later and just kind of go in with like, oh, what is this? So you see this beautiful Victorian mansion.
Yeah.
And back in like the 1880s, you don't see that very often. Well, Henry Rifle owned Winchester Rifles. It was supposed to be known as like the rifle that won the West. So having known that information, it definitely took a lot of lives as well. So when she was married...
Well, the rifles that were sold...
The rifle,
by
correct.
The Winchester. People that bought them and shot people.
Correct.
Okay.
So the heiress of the Winchester rifle, William, was her husband. And he died when she was like 40. So he died really, really young from tuberculosis. They also had a baby named Anne. And she died as an infant from, I think what they called it was marasmus.
Yeah.
So she's... Their baby starved to death, aww. And she witnessed this. So, fast forward.
And plus his father, you know, Oliver, he died.
Almost like they go in threes.
Yeah, he went like a week before the husband, yeah. So it was really a very sad situation for Sarah Winchester because she experienced not only her father-in-law, who was basically the creator of, you know, Winchester guns and rifles and whatnot, then her husband, and then their child.
She had all this loss, and...
Did she forget to feed the baby?
No, the baby couldn't eat. They couldn't starve to death. Yeah. Oh. And they believe that the baby was missing some type of enzyme.
Oh, okay.
So she couldn't help the baby. So the baby, I mean, I believe there's a photo out there where it's just skull and bones, and the baby was still alive, but she did unfortunately pass.
That's so sad.
So they don't talk a lot about the depression that she may have been in at the time and from all of these losses, right?
Right.
But this mash, I mean, she was multi-millionaire and probably making in the early 1900s, $1,000 a day from everything.
Wow.
Plus
selling guns,
of course. Yeah, right. and she had $50 billion or something. So what do you do with it? Well, so when I walk in, and of course I don't know what we're going to see, and I just had a sense of like a village, almost kind of like a community where you have nothing around you in San Jose at the time. Nothing else was really built.
Yeah, it was like orange fields and stuff.
Yeah, right, yeah. And originally it started at, she had orchards. She had, I think oranges, peaches. I mean, full on orchards with gardens that she ended up employing, someone who is like a keeper of the gardens.
A gardener? I forgot what they call it. Like servants.
True, I guess it would be a gardener, but you know, she had servants and people doing the crops and whatnot. So
right.
She was really
the land master, whatever they call it.
Correct.
I can't remember what they call it.
And so you're looking at 163 acres.
It's amazing.
This house alone was 24,000 square feet.
It's amazing.
That's a lot
of vacuuming.
Oh my God.
I don't think she did it though.
Yeah, right. I don't think so.
At one point, there were 500 to 600 bedrooms, and it tiered up to 7 stories.
Right.
After the earthquake in 19. 19-
For what reason? Did she have big people come over?
That is the question. She never really had guests.
Yes.
Yeah,
so they didn't.
Nor would I.
Her house was just built for mainly for all the workers, you know, the people that were working in the field.
Well, that's what legend has said,
right?
That
maybe.
She employed them. She was a type of spirit that wanted to make sure that everybody was taken care of, and that if she had passed, where would they go? They wouldn't have a job. So it's said that they built for 38 years,
right?
Nonstop, meaning 24 hours a day.
And the reason was she was afraid of the ghosts that were chasing her through the house.
Correct.
These were the ghosts of the dead people that were shot by the rifles. Winchester
Correct.
Rifles.
But
Correct.
A medium had told her that if she didn't continue to build, that she would be haunted and she would die.
Oh, this is why. This is not an ethical medium.
Exactly.
Dang it.
However, have you ever seen a labyrinth? I'm not familiar with a labyrinth or a maze, but there were stairs that go up, up, up to go down to go up, and then down, down, up, down, up, down, go up. I mean,
yeah, she was really frightened
just to
by
take
this.
Up space.
Yeah, there were like 40 staircases. Yeah.
There was one staircase in the area where you walk up 9 flights of stairs, you only get up to nine flights of stairs, and you only
9
go up?
Feet of stairs. There were.
And you're only on
48
stairs. You're only on the second floor, second story.
Yeah. So then, while I'm walking,
and you're just going
it,
like this, and you know,
I
she had
so
arthritis,
confused.
So the steps were very short and small and tiny, this and that.
Well, she was like 4'8" as well. So the doorknobs were like at my kneecaps. You know,
sounds like a living hell.
It was.
Yeah. It was. Yeah.
For me, when I walked through it,
so did
I
she have psychiatric problems? Did you
find
out?
Well, here's the thing: they never talk about that.
Yeah.
But how could she not be completely tormented? Tormented by
depression.
Well,
she's so rich. She was like Michael Jackson. She could do whatever the hell she wanted to.
She could, yeah. I mean, and she was building for these servants, and she took very, you know, very good care of them. But there was a room in there that was called the fire room. 7 fireplaces. She had a total of 47 fireplaces. 13 of them were wood fired.
Oh.
But when we're talking wall to wall redwood, she was way beyond our time as far as architecture and details. If you look at the door hinge, ornate filigree in the door hinge.
Just beautiful. Just,
she had authentic Tiffany glass windows.
What's the name of that Spanish architect, designer, or artist in Spain, in Barcelona?
I don't know.
Gaudi?
Gaudi is what he's saying.
It kind of reminds me of that. And in those days, like, this guy was like a huge architect, and he just built these crazy monstrosities of castles and cathedrals and buildings.
Isn't there 13 Tiffany windows too, or something?
So she's kind of like this weird, eccentric
interior
designer.
Yeah, she was an amateur architect, However, when you look at the you want to say something really quick, Colby?
Well, I just thought there was like 13 Tiffany windows or 13 something.
When we were walking through.
There's 13 webs or something, what they call them, in each stained glass. So she always had the number 13.
That she actually handcrafted or had. You know.
So, AJ, when you were there, what did you tap into? Like, did you feel anything?
Oh, my God. Yeah.
I did.
You know, originally I did a tour, and, you know, the tour guide, Janin and Nathan, amazing people, and they welcomed me with open arms and whatnot. And they said, "Oh, we're going to do like a 30-minute tour, you know, maybe 40 minutes, 3.5-hour tour of the whole house."
Oh,
unbelievable! I mean, they took me to places that not even open to the public.
Really?
You can't even go into, and the energy there is just like in certain places that the energy was so persistent and so strong, and then so, you know, emotional. Like her bedroom that she died in was very emotional. Like, you know, she died a slow death, you know, it was a slow death for her, and there was a lot of emotions that were going on that I was picking up here. And I didn't know too much about the house or the property or too much about Sarah Winchester except for the ghost stories or the theories and whatnot or the legends, and so whatever came through, some things that they told me that it's not even known to them or whatever. And so part of it was just trying to getting these impressions out. Like there was one area in your hallway kind of,
you can't really get validation. You just have to sort of feel it.
You know, because like there's only been three mediums that have been there, which is Sylvia Brown, James Van Prague, who was there last month, and then myself. And so there's only been three people that they actually had there to actually do an event there. And so it was an honor to kind of be there and be one of those individuals. And, you know, your hallway is kind of very similar to Sarah Winchester's servants and whatnot, because it's very short, and it's about maybe like, what is it? Maybe 5 feet tall, like just the ceiling and all the rooms and everything. But the hallway's just really crazy and whatnot long. And I heard like all the bells and I heard people working and yelling and whatnot, like the impressions. So there was so much energy that was going on that I was like, am I actually hearing this? Is this actually happening? And the tour guides, I mean, they were just like looking at me like, what do you get? What do you feel? And I was such in awe in this place because I've never done a place like this ever. Like I've never experienced anything
like
this.
That's really cool.
And
so they hired you to go and do the tour.
And do a
VIP seance for 32 people.
Oh, really? Three ballrooms
that were connected to her or just random people?
Just random people, yeah.
And to say, oh, she's here, and...
Well, no, it was actually kind of like, the seance was kind of like the tour of the whole home, basically the whole house, and then the seance was basically doing readings for people's loved ones who have passed over.
God,
so
that sounds like fun.
Oh, yeah, it was amazing.
But you guys, we're not talking about an ordinary woman. We're talking about a child prodigy. By the time she was
12, so smart.
She was fluent in Latin, French, Spanish, and Italian.
So she was very artistic.
Very artistic.
She had a ton of money.
I think she was beyond her time. And I also personally think that there was more to what she was displaying in her home than most people would gather. I personally, from knowing a little bit of information about the Masons and Freemasonry and the Bilderbergs and whatnot, that she was clearly intending to
create a code. Did she hide slaves there or anything?
Who knows, right? I mean, she had
she was from Britain.
Yeah.
But I don't know, you know, there could be some German ancestry there.
No, I was just joking.
I know.
No, but I mean, okay, so when you, but what was the most striking thing that,
to me, geometry. That's what struck me.
Okay.
And also the textiles that she used. And I mean, of course, she was a multi-billionaire, so whatever you think, oh, I'm not shocked about this, but it was the windows, the art glass that she had, the gems that she had within her
windows. She only spent $5 million. Did you know how far that would go these days?
Right?
Not
very far. Right.
And
I mean,
she
I
died
can't
in
even,
1922.
I can't even
so.
Rebuild a pool house for less than 100 grand. Jesus.
Well, what they're probably only making 10 to 15 cents or something a day. I don't really know. But there were seven tiers. Then after the 1906 earthquake, where she actually, her servants had to search for her for several hours because they didn't know what room she was in, because she wanted to trick the spirits, and so they wouldn't know what room she was
in. She was
every
watching
time.
Porn.
Well, maybe she was hiding, or maybe making
she
her
probably
own,
had
knows.
50 servants working there. Well, she couldn't get any peace and quiet.
I was surprised that she didn't have a
just
love
kidding.
Interest. You know.
Okay, so. But. Yeah, well, yeah.
But these textiles, I mean,
she
we're
had
talking
a hard
about
life, obviously.
Redwood,
hey,
wall to wall.
You should check out her seance room that she has there.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And you're obviously aware of physical mediumship. I don't know if you're aware of physical mediumship, Susan, but where they work with a trumpet and all that stuff. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And she was so advanced.
She has three ways out of one room. You can only get one way in, but you have three exits. One opens up to the kitchen sink, which is like a window onto the floor.
Oh, wow.
One is opening up you know, somewhere else without a window. Mm-mm. And the third is right behind this wall, which is a closet. But that closet, when I was in there, it felt like it was the cabinet for physical mediumship.
Oh, it was
unbelievable. Oh, like, you would appreciate that feeling because the energy
explain that. What does that mean?
Physical mediumship is where the medium kind of takes on the energy or the personality or basically the spirit steps into the body of the medium. Where, you know, like the movie Ghost, where Whoopi Goldberg allows Patrick Swayze, Sam Weed to kind of step in and she channels him. The same thing. But that room felt like that. There was a lot of ectoplasm that was being produced, a lot of like energy. I mean, this was something that was like,
what's ectoplasm?
It's like a goo basically that's produced from an orifice, from the nose, the mouth, or whatever.
You got slimed in
there? Like Slimer from Ghostbusters. So that's ectoplasm.
She was hiding in there, and ghost was coming all over.
Can I step in?
Of course, you would say that.
That's the first thing I think about. I'm sorry.
It says, upon
this is
her arrival.
A family show.
This is a family show.
So inappropriate.
That is so inappropriate of you.
It says, Sarah began holding her own seances every midnight so that she could receive the next day's building instructions from the spirits. Her seances allegedly involved the use of a Ouija board and a planchette and 13 various.
So she got slimed in the closet. Okay, so my instincts are she was bringing the spirits to her.
Right.
And then she was building her way away from them.
At the same time.
Well, it says a medium told her the only way to calm the vengeful spirits was to use her $20 million inheritance to build a home that would confuse the apparitions. If she ever stopped building, the ghost would calm her life, would claim...
Then she had seances with a Ouija board, which is like
every
a bad
night,
idea.
And it said that she would do it at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Bad. They're not. Yeah,
Ouija boards are not.
It's a tool.
What's your view on Ouija boards?
It's all about the user. I mean, I think Ouija boards are a
gateway.
If you
want positive, then
it's like
guys are like my instant Ouija board.
Right. Yeah, we are. You can scroll around my alphabet anytime, Susan.
I'm gonna make you a shirt for that. I'm gonna make you a shirt.
First lady of love has scrolled this.
Around my alphabet.
I like that. It's gonna be my new T-shirt.
That's funny.
When you think about the alphabet.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of the Pythagorean theorem or Pythagoras? He was like a builder in like ancient Greek or whatnot.
Yes.
So all of the tiers and the details.
I don't think it's Pythagorean.
How do you say it?
I'm not going to even try.
Pythagoras?
I had a glass of wine. I'm not even going to try. Wait, what
she
is
said
that?
A quarter of a
glass of wine.
A quarter
Nate just reminded
of a glass.
Me. I'm trying to stay sober. I want to say. I can't.
Pythagoras?
No.
Anybody?
We don't have a nerdy math guy here. So
it's complete geometry and numerology to me. The number of windows she had, I mean, she had 52 and 13. And to me, I mean, I guess that's only my personal experience. Mm-hmm. But so many things added up to me that it was almost like a secret code. Than it was, she was afraid of these evil spirits. It said that she was raised by... very intellectual beings as well.
So they were
masons.
They were mathematicians,
100%.
On some level.
And
because nobody
like
can come up. Like I don't know if anybody's noticed my house, but it's very asymmetrical. Like everything is like nothing's the same on all sides, and it's really frustrating when you're trying to decorate. but like the cabinets have to be a certain way, and like everything, the whole house is like that. But the
Maybe
guy that built it,
you're a reincarnation of Sarah Winchester.
Oh, I probably have spirits running through here because it's no easy way in or no easy way out.
No, it's not.
I know, but I just realized I could totally live in this particular wing we're in. I got a fireplace. I am good to go.
Well, I know the guy that built it was nuts too, so maybe they had something in common. But no, I can see how if she was very creative and she also was crazy and had a lot of money and was a mathematician,
right?
How she could develop something like this and enjoy it. I mean,
yes, yeah. And you know, well, like the flower of life. Have you guys ever seen that in geometry?
Well, into geometry, yeah.
Okay, so
I barely passed geometry.
I never took it. I think I had to take.
I was like an artist. I was not.
She was an artist.
My brother was a math major, like my son, and I was.
Well, she mixed Gothic, Roman, and Greek traditions within her. So there's like
in San Jose, California, which is pretty impressive,
right? And in 1900 or whatever, she died in 1922. So it says that legend has.
How old was she when she passed? Do you know?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, okay.
She was pretty young.
I think she was. Well, I thought she was in her 80s, no?
Oh, okay. She older?
Yeah, I thought she was like 86 or something.
I still want to know what ectoplasm is.
It's like the goo of like when an apparition or a spirit body is trying to come into physical form from the other
side,
22 like dimensions
on,
of
like
this
realm.
Like
on Stranger Things.
Yeah, then it uses that and it can be used to speak through as a voice box.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really like a mediumship cabinet. Go ahead, Kobe.
Well, I was just going to ask. I keep getting the number 47.
There's 47.
I think her husband passed at 47.
Oh, right? There's 47 fireplaces.
Right? Oh, 47. Oh, okay. Yeah.
I've only got one.
She had one stairwell that had 49
I've only got
steps.
Five. Did you feel the number five when you walked in my house?
I didn't. No, it's not about you.
Well, and are you familiar with the Fibonacci code sequence at all?
Liberace, what?
The Fibonacci.
No, kidding.
No, yeah, no.
So we're so there was like prime numbers and
oh, wow.
And where you can like take numerology and take a number and like zero it down or whatnot. But the Fibonacci spiral is said to be in every existence of our human and animal and Milky Way and universe. And so when you bring it back to what I think she was trying to do is a lot of people talk about how she left the building unfinished or she died before she could finish it. And I wasn't really wooed by that. I was more intrigued by what she was really trying to say through numbers and the amount of steps and the amount of fireplaces that
because
there
it was
were.
Like a, it was like a code. It was like a different
to me,
language.
It was a code. And I feel like if it's a code to my own existence, then great. That's what I get to take away from it. But if you talk about a labyrinth, like a maze, when I was walking through the home, like 10 minutes into it, and maybe I'll even read my own personal notes to explain kind of what my thoughts were, but I felt sick, nauseous, disoriented, like as if I was going into another vortex or I was going into another dimension. And I don't know if she was trying to ascend these spirits to the heavens. She had tons of atriums. She had like 2,000 plus windows in this place.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you don't have any electricity and you're using like a cast iron fireplace for your heating. I mean, you like at night
or,
it's dark.
No, well, her fireplaces.
Right. So they said she had arthritis, so maybe she needed that to heat. But why would you have seven fireplaces in one room?
Right.
And none of the rooms really had walls. They all
but I think because the Ouija board's got numbers on it.
Yes.
Right.
I bet you she would go. I just that was the one thing
this
I got.
This was her development.
Is that she got like they would building for the next day, right?
Correct.
So they would maybe get the alphabet for the room or the thing, and then they would go to the numbers.
I mean, these places
so
go
would,
to nowhere.
So
there's doors that
I bet you on the night of fireplaces in the room, they got the seven, and that's how she knew it would be. So I bet you there's
that's a meaning.
Pretty smart. I'd never even thought about
that. Yeah, that was. I think they were looking. I think she got the answers. How many do I put in
100%.
This room through the numbers?
It
and
was
that.
All by number. Well, you know, metric system.
It's so amazing though too because I think like. As kooky as the sounds of her home and the way she was and people knew her and this and that, like she wasn't really all that crazy. Like
she's probably so
she was
creative.
Creative
and
intelligent
smart.
Because, you know, I think one of my best experiences that was very simple, but so matter of fact how it happened. At the end of the night, at the end of the tour, I ended up going down to the ballroom. They set up all the tables and this and that, and they had seven different roses all lined up here, and I heard it, and I heard like this voice, like not in my head, but like outside of my existence, which was like, "Thank you for the roses."
Aww.
And I stopped and I looked and I thought the lady, the tour, one of the tour guides said like that, it wasn't that. It was her way. And so I asked Nathan and Jana, and I go like, hey, Janin, and I go like, hey, like, are these roses from her garden? Because I didn't know if she started gardens or whatever, because I never toured the outside. Mm-hmm. And they go, no, but she loved roses. And so it was something that simple, mm-hmm. which was so personal, but so amazing for me, because like, I heard this voice come out from outside of me, not from within.
And just typically, her, like, a sense of gratitude
right.
that you're in there.
So do you have any more stories?
Absolutely.
Okay, wait. What we're going to do, we're going to take a break.
And grab another
glass
of wine.
We're going to take a caller, because we need more drunk history. This is good, though. I really like to hear it. I want to hear what else happened when you were in the house.
Fantastic.
But first, we're going to take a call from Mary.
Okay.
And then we'll be right back. I want to shout out to our calling out sponsor, Bergamet, and the product Bergafem. Whether you're premenopausal or post, have changes in libido, energy, or just low metabolism, or have hot flashes, there's an all-natural solution that can help. It's called Bergafem. Bergafem is a dietary supplement made with organic extracts from the bergamot citrus fruit, which is known to have medicinal properties that can improve cardiovascular function. Also, it can help fight high blood pressure, high cholesterol, high blood sugar, and abdominal fat. But what makes Bergafem different is its combination of natural ingredients specifically formulated for women facing the dreaded menopause. I've been taking Bergafem for over a month now, and I've noticed increased energy and libido and reduction in hot flashes. I've got so much energy, I'm back in the gym and working on my diet. Bergamet is derived from the key extracts of the bergamot citrus fruit. It acts as a natural statin, or in scientific terms, an HMG-CoA reductase inhibitor, and has properties that may lower triglycerides and raise your HDL. There's 47% bergamot, 45% Bulgarian Tribulus testris, and a little Mecca, or Peruvian gold, in there. Sounds pretty hot to me. And last but not least, Damiana. This herb has traditionally been used as an aphrodisiac. Modern research has shown an increase in the strength of eggs in females and helps with anorgasmia. To learn more about Bergafem, please visit our friends at bergamet.com. That's BERGAMET.com today. Or visit drdrew.com and click on the Bergamet banner today. This is a Dr. Drew approved product. However, you must be sure to consult with your doctor if taking medication. This does not replace medications prescribed by your physician for cardiovascular health. Support the show and get some Bergafem today, or any of the Bergamet products that apply to you if you aren't a woman. Try the Bergasport for muscle recovery, or look at the Mega Plus for heart health. All available at bergamet.com. Okay, so we're back, and we have Mary on the line. She's a calling out fan, and she's been emailing me for about a year now, I think, or 6 months, and we finally have an opportunity to read a caller, and we like doing that now. I'm going to do that more often. So if you want a reading with us, send me an email at callingout@drdrew.com. But please download the app and let me know that you did that, because we appreciate that. And okay, so I have Psychic Rebel Colby here today.
Hi.
And I have AJ Barrera.
Hello, how you doing?
And they work really great together, but I don't know how you guys want to do this, but
preference. I have no preference.
Okay. So anyways, I'll let you guys do your thing.
Yeah. You can go. Do you have something?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
All right. Hi, Mary. How you doing? It's AJ.
Hi. Good. I'm great. Thank you. Hi, AJ.
So first of all, I don't know if you're looking for mediumship, which is connected with spirit, or psychic reading, but I'm just going to kind of pull through whatever comes through, okay? So the first thing I definitely want to bring up here is I definitely have like an older female figure that is stepping forward here. And I want to link this over to mom's side of the family. So do you know your mom's side of the family pretty well, please?
We're not super close, but I do know them a little bit. Okay. Enough.
I do have a mom energy that is stepping forward here. So I don't know if this is your mom or this is like a mother figure, but I do have her kind of open up the door here when she does step forward here. And when she does step forward here, there's a feeling that she's making me feel like when she talks about her passing, I'm not getting this as being like a very tragic event or a very lengthy process, but I just get it as if like a very, the best way I can say it is like almost like a blood disease, like leukemia or cancer, something affecting this that kind of like shut down the system. Would that make sense, please?
You know, half of it makes sense. The other half doesn't.
Okay, what does it make sense, if you don't mind me asking?
The disease makes sense, but the person doesn't.
How's a person? Is a female connected to you?
No.
Okay.
Not that I'm aware of, no.
Either one, I have two separate links that are coming forward then. So if it is a male, either Colby might be linking with that person, but I'm not linking with the male. But I am picking up the disease of whatnot. But this may be the female figure bringing through the male figure that is passed over. But would they... Go ahead.
It's the second time. Now I have a man and you had a woman.
Wait. Absolutely. And that was in our previous show. So perhaps if would this gentleman be on the same phylum, like the same level as like a father figure, basically?
One of the people, yes.
The one with the cancer, the one with the blood disease, that one.
Well, to be honest, there's two.
Okay.
And it's the same disease.
Okay. So long as I know that they're on the same, like they're on the same level for me as like father figure, as uncle figure, that level, I definitely have to bring up their way stepping forward here, courtesy of like mom's figure, basically, of the mom energy. So I definitely feel like it's their way kind of stepping forward in a way, but talking about the disease in a specific light. So I don't know if it means like either one, it kind of just happened very quickly, very suddenly, but to me it doesn't feel like that there's a very long drawn out process with their passing. So if that is a case, I need to validate that they want to bring it up in a huge way, what happened prior to the passing, not so much the passing itself. So was there some sort of either issue going against medical advice with the person, with the gentleman here?
You know, to be honest, I don't know the gentleman. I know a gentleman because of my fiance. And the passing did happen fast, and it was because of the cancer and leukemia. Okay. I don't know the gentleman, but I know of him.
Okay, that's fine. And just make note of it. And if your husband is still here or you still have connection with him, just let him know that it's their way stepping forward here, that's coming forward here.
Okay.
I'm gonna have Colby jump in real quick.
Yeah, yeah. I felt like, so, you know, with this connection, I'm getting someone who's a little more closer to your age is the feeling I'm getting. So it's a man, but he's closer to your age. He doesn't feel older. You know, he just feels like he's more connected to your age. Does that make sense with the second gentleman?
It makes more sense, yes.
Okay.
Not as much, but it does make more sense in a little bit, yeah.
Okay. And then it makes me feel like what he makes me feel like is I feel like you were pretty close to him, though. That's the feeling I'm getting, right? So this would have been like your fiance. I don't want to put him, but your fiance is still in the living. Is that that's correct, right? He's not in, because I feel like this could be his.
Yes, that is correct. And the person that I'm is his father, yeah.
Okay.
I never met his father, but I know his father passed of the disease.
Oh, I see. Okay. I think you're a messenger for your fiance, right, AJ?
Absolutely.
It just feels like dad wants to step forward to just kind of give his son some kind of help or some guidance along this, okay? So, but I'm curious, though, this blood thing, though, did it go down to your fiance at all, or is there a connection that this is genetic?
No, it's actually not even a connection. The blood disease actually... It just happens to be a coincidence, but it's on my side. But it happens
interesting.
To be a coincidence that it also happened on his.
We're getting to the root of this, but do you want to give them a little bit more information, or
yes.
what you're looking for,
or what your expectations are versus what we're giving you?
Okay, I'm hoping to hear from my son.
Ah, that's.
Closer to your age.
Yeah, that's the feeling.
I'm not like you with the son. I'll be very honest. I think Colby is.
Okay, yeah. I think that's okay. That's why I was asking about the fiance, mm-hmm. and that's what was feeling. Okay,
absolutely.
But it's very sensitive. It just feels okay. But I do feel like your son's not very old. He just feels younger when he passes. Is that correct? Because I don't feel like he's an adult by any means. Like he still feels very young to me. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And you do understand, like, the I just want to kind of, and he also, but the passing, again, I don't know, I just want to acknowledge, I don't know if this disease is But there is a connection to this disease in the family also, right? Does that make sense to you? Do you know that or not know that?
No, I don't know that.
Because, okay.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to me.
Okay.
Like, we didn't know anything of it prior to my son.
But your son didn't have this disease at all?
He did.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes,
oh, my
yes,
goodness.
Yes.
Okay. You're making me think I'm crazy.
So that would be the parallel.
Thank
yes.
you.
I'm sorry. Right.
No, honey. It's okay. It's okay. But I just was about to quit doing this work.
Please don't.
Okay. He makes me. Listen, I got to tell you, though, I'm getting a super, like, prior to this, it makes me, like, I feel like there's a time, though, when he is healthy or there's this energetic little face about him, right? You understand that part? Like, he gives me these little energetic eyeballs.
Absolutely.
And he gives me this big smile. And he gives me this feeling of, being very, very affectionate, especially like even touchy-feely with his hands a lot. Do you know that? Like, does that ring a bell for you? Because it's like he's constantly reaching out for you. And I do get this sense where, now, I got a 7. I don't know, was he 7 when he passes, or is there a connection to July or a 7?
He was 7 when he passed.
Thank you, honey. It's good. So I got to tell you, it sounds like I'm happy, but it's only because it makes me feel good knowing that he's here and like he's jumping up and down and he's giving me this feeling of, yes, she's getting it. She's getting it.
Oh.
And he gives me this, mommy, it's like, oh, I don't know, did he call you mommy? Because I was like, mommy, and I'm just so happy. And I want to, like, I just want to, oh, I know this isn't the easiest thing, and I know it's like it's so been so difficult, and I can only imagine, but it's like he's okay. Like he's, oh, it's like if I could just share with you how energetic he is and how, you know, and he must have had tubes or something at the end because he's saying, I don't have any tubes, mom. I don't have any tubes. So can you connect him needing tubes or something towards the end of his life?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, he doesn't need them now. He is fine. Okay. And I do feel like he's out playing baseball and he's out being energetic and running around and doing all the things that he loved doing. Okay.
He played baseball. Yeah,
thank you. See, thank you. And I do feel like, now, is there a connection to 13? Was his jersey 13, or do you know a 13, or I don't know. Or is it the 13th of a month, a connection to 13?
I don't know. Not that I could think of. That's not his jersey number.
No. Okay. Did he pass on the 13th of a month or January 3rd?
No.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Just make note to
keep it in mind.
Yeah, okay. There is. We're gonna. I think there's a connection that they're gonna give me. So there is a validation. Just maybe not from you. That's okay. I do want to share. He gives me this. He holds your hand. You're holding his hand. I know you must have been there when he passes or something because you're holding his hand when he passes. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, he tells me. He knows you're holding his hand. He knows I feel like he's not conscious or something. When like he's not – oh, I can't talk. So either he can't communicate or he's not conscious at the actual passing, but he's letting you know he's there or he knows you're around them. Yes? Does that make sense? Okay. He says, Mom, I heard you. I heard you, Mom. Oh, my God. Did you tell him to go to the angels or go to heaven or something like there's something around heaven or angels? Is that right?
I told him that he can go.
See? Yeah. He says he know. He's giving me little goosey bumps. And he lets me know. He's just like... He loves you so much. If you, I there are no words. I do not even have the words to share with you how much he loves you. I can just show, like, I wish I could show you with my face because it's like how he would look at you that you knew he knew your soul, you know? And if this was, I know you tried to take, I know you did everything for him, he says. You guys did everything. We went to every doctor, tried to find every treatment. Like, it wasn't, we didn't just accept this. I know we were trying everything we could, yes?
Yes.
But he knows, like, you know, he got to graduate. You know, he's ahead of his class. I mean, you have to kind of look at it that way. Right. You know, if that's any consolation, it's like he's ahead of his class. He's a bright star.
Oh, my God. You were going to take the words.
Oh,
what
go
I
ahead.
Kept on, what I kept on hearing, Colby, yeah, was yeah. Star boy. So I think in some way with this boy, I think that his maturity is just to let you know that he's growing old with yes. mom in some way.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, mom, I think there's a story for here for you to tell. And I'm not sure if you thought about sharing this story or expressing it in writing, but there's a sense where this story doesn't just end with your son. It's like you tell this story and it shares it to other people. So have you been writing or journaling or talking about this story in another way?
Yes, absolutely. I talk about it. I'm a big... I started a nonprofit to help children in his situation.
What's the
and
name
I talk
of
about
it?
Him.
What's the name of the nonprofit called?
I'm sorry?
What's the name of the nonprofit called?
The Calvin Preston Foundation.
Ah, got it. Okay. I saw the star again, so I wasn't sure if that star was connected. Do you understand?
I think I know the star. He has a star registered to him.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah,
that's incredible.
So awesome.
Nice.
You know,
yeah.
You know, and one thing I wanted to bring up, and you know, I'm not connecting very strong, and I'm gonna be very honest here because my work's about integrity. I'm not connecting very strongly with your son, but I do believe at a moment of when Colby was talking about being there for his passing. But the amazing part, though, is that I feel like that you never really showed much emotion, like sadness, around him during these times.
Yeah,
that
strong.
You were always like, yeah, strong and brave for him, and he wants to let you know, mommy, thank you for being so brave for me, but no, for you. Does yeah. that make sense, please?
It totally makes sense. Yeah. Absolutely.
And he's also bringing up for me in a way, though, is that, and I don't want to sound very, you know, weird about this or very vague about it, but there's a very simple part of his energy that I feel like that you actually like slept with him, like literally like slept in the bed and saying like, I gotta remember this moment, I gotta remember this time, I gotta remember everything that's happening here. And I feel like these emotions are just so overwhelming that he wants to let you know, mom, I still feel you. You can still feel me.
And you're smelling his hair.
Yes. Oh my God. Ooh.
Yeah, that's so true. I didn't want to forget anything, and even now I'm so afraid of forgetting things.
We're all in tears.
This is a random so little sweet. Bit that popped in. Did he happen to like Britney Spears, or is there something about pop music?
Yes, he left Justin Bieber.
That's awesome.
Okay. He's making me feel like he wants to like dance.
He's always dancing and singing all the time.
Okay, so it's letting you know he still is, and he still like got his idols and all of that sort of thing. He is very, very special. I mean, you have a very, very special son. You've got a wonderful angel with you for sure. And I do feel like, you know, he's got this life purpose that goes far beyond his physical existence, you know?
Yeah.
Absolutely. And one thing I want to add, and I don't know if you're in California, Orange County or whatnot, but when Colby was speaking and you said Justin Bieber, the first impression that I got was Chalk Hospital, which is like Radio Lollipop that they used to have. I don't know if they still have it, but I'm kind of seeing him there kind of enjoying his time. And even though this child knew he was in transition, I really feel like that he gave his best and he lived to every single moment as being happy for you guys, because I don't think he was afraid. I think you guys were afraid for him. Does that make sense?
It totally makes sense.
And this child is just amazing because, you know, Colby has such an amazing link with him. And I just feel like the way he wants to link within me is just more on an emotional level. It's weird because, like, typically I don't work on that level. I work on impressions and seeing things. But I just feel like your son needs to come through and validate you guys. And I really feel like it's so important. And he wants to hand you balloons. So did you guys release balloons, or what's a balloon reference here?
Yeah, we've done that for his for his birthday, and the 30th anniversary is coming up.
Okay. So if he can just release balloons for him one more time, or a balloon, he wants to let you know he'll be there in spirit. His soul will be right there with you, because there's something about the balloons he hands to you rather than you giving it to him. So just to let you know, on a spiritual reference, he has the balloons now.
Yeah. And is there a connection to March or March 21st at all?
He passed in March.
Okay, okay. Is there a connection to the 21st at all, or 21?
I don't know about the 21 is when they told me that they couldn't do anything. for him anymore, but he passed a few days after.
Okay, got it. See, okay, got it. So that's just interesting because he shared the 321 with me, so which is it's interesting that being significant.
Absolutely. I mean, it's such a heavy moment for this
yes.
child, and it's so amazing, Mary, because your son comes through in a way as if he's been here before, like yes. he knows about this work. Like I again, this is why I don't feel like that he has any fear of dying. Like maybe he did, but I don't get that impression at all whatsoever. Like I feel like that I keep on hearing to tell Dad that I'm doing okay. Tell Dad I'm doing okay. So I don't know what the misconception was with Dad and his son, but I feel like in some way that Dad needs to understand his son is doing absolutely fine and he's not in pain the way he saw him, because in some weird way, Mary, and I don't mind being wrong here, Colby mentioned up something here with tubes, but there wasn't an issue where he actually had like a tube up his nose, did he?
Oh, I saw a tube up his nose.
That's
too.
What I saw. Yeah.
He had a tube in his mouth and it had to be removed when he went.
Okay.
I feel like whatever this thing is, he wants to let you know that he's glad he doesn't have this, because I really feel like it's so important to validate you, but also to express the love. And a funny reference that I need to joke around with you is that he's still kind of like pulling your feet or playing with your feet at night. So if you experience him, I feel like it's kind of his way is like saying like, Mom, trying to wake you up and trying to get your attention, but nothing to freak you out, but in a way saying like, Mom, I'm here with you.
Yeah, I think, did he used to... I think he used to try to find ways to scare you or prank you, because I
keep
I keep seeing him like do things and poke his head around the corner and be like, ah, ha, ha, I got you.
I agree. I absolutely agree.
And you know the whole tube situation. That's significant because they gave me the option to remove that tube or to leave it, and they decided to remove it and let him go for him.
Yes.
But that was such a hard choice.
Yeah, but
and
it was...
I was so sorry, and I had to do it for him.
Yeah, but it was the right one, because absolutely. Obviously that's exactly what AJ is saying. Like, he's so happy to not have that. So, you know, maybe you can have a sense of peace and comfort knowing you made that right decision. It was the right decision out of the love for your son. The selfish decision would have been to keep it, right? So you did the love thing, and he knows it. Yeah, he knows it. And he's cute, too.
And one last thing, at least for me, that I can say here. There wouldn't be another sibling still living or coming in right now?
You know what? I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't think so. Maybe. I don't know.
Are you trying to get pregnant right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, I think there's going to be a child.
Yes.
Yes, she is, right?
I'm hearing there's another sibling, another child coming in.
Yes.
My impression, I already felt like that it's already coming in, like it's already here. So if you haven't got a pregnancy test or two, if this was like, you know, just recently, I feel like your son is going to be bringing through another child into this picture in a very positive light.
Yes.
And a healthy light. You know what I mean? And in a way that you and your husband can be ready to fulfill this child's journey, not only the one in spirit, but the one that's coming in here.
It's crazy because we thought about we need a pregnancy test today. We should get it today.
And see?
We'll
wait for you if you want to go ahead and get one.
Right,
yeah.
We'll be right here waiting. We'll have a glass of wine.
Yeah, we'll be here. We'll get back to you in like 5 minutes. So, is there a link? What at the beginning we had a link to somebody else having leukemia in the
her
family?
father-in-law, a father, like her fiance's father.
Right, also. My fiance's father passed away when my fiance was 9 from leukemia, and it was very quick. Just within a week, he passed away pretty quick.
Now I want to know that. But this son, hang on, real quick. I just want to validate. Want to make sure this son is not the fiance's child. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Because I kept hearing that the reason you and your fiance ended up coming together was this full circle healing of these losses that you both would understand. Like, that's the feeling I kept getting.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. Absolutely.
Yeah.
That was weird. That's a weird life story.
No, it's soul contract.
Right, yeah,
is
absolutely.
It's soul contract.
Absolutely.
Okay, it's contract.
Through her...
soul contract.
Yeah, through her son, she helps to heal her fiance and the loss that he... You know what I mean? It's all like healing and loving and helping one another through this.
I know, but two at the same
time. And then
they're
going to have a child, which I feel this child... You know, I'm not a doctor, right?
Neither am I.
I do feel like this will be healthy experience.
Okay, and nobody's a doctor here, but just because
well, except
I'm a,
for Dr. Drew.
Yeah, he's yeah, not here. I wish right. he was. but because your fiance's father had leukemia and your son had leukemia, I wonder what do they test to see?
There is genetic testing, and there's no history there. I mean, there is no history on his end or on my end, yeah. and the genetic testing tests nothing.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm from. Or like I that? Mean, obviously. AJ's not a doctor, but he said it's a healthy situation. So, I mean, we can predict the future, but we're not medical.
Yeah, and this cancer, is, doctors, blood yeah. cancer is not hereditary, which is yeah. good to know.
Oh, it's not? Still, oh, good.
You're still there.
That's good. You know? But yeah. I just, you know, I don't want to tell you that you're, I would have everything checked out anyways, just because, absolutely. I don't yes. know, it just seems right. like the right thing to do. But wonderful. I'm sure you're on top of it because you know a lot about this.
Right, absolutely, yes. Yes, we've done our homework. Before even trying, so yes, absolutely.
Well, that's wonderful. I hope a new baby comes, and then your son in spirit will have a friend.
Yes,
right,
because yeah. they are around us.
Oh right. yeah,
I believe that 100%. I see it, and I see signs, and his dreams are so vivid, and it's amazing. It's just it really is amazing. And he was always such an old soul, and he would just always say the darnest things, and I would say, where did that come from? And I had no idea.
yeah. So,
it's amazing. It's That's just,
really cool. yeah.
I appreciate this so much. Thank
I'm,
you.
This I'm means a lot so to me. Glad that you connected. I well, have no doubt, but I
think
just...
a great name, you know, girl or boy, Colby, really, you know, we have Calvin and then Colby. I think this is wonderful news. I'm honored, really.
Yeah, I never said his name was Calvin. That's really
no,
good.
No, you did, though. You said the nonprofit. I'm not going to lie. Yeah, you said nonprofit yeah. foundation, so.
She's not that good.
No, I wish I was. I really wish I was, but.
Well, sometimes she is that good. I don't
But I do like the Calvin and Colby. It has a nice
that
ring.
That has a good ring to it. Right?
I think so, too. Yeah.
It's good. It's good. So, do you have any more questions? Because we are running out of time, but I'm so glad we got to talk to you.
Yes, thank you. Just I want to know about if we have time about the foundation. Is I want to know if it's something that I feel like it's my path and I'm in my purpose. But sometimes it gets so emotional that I don't know if it's something that I really want to pursue full time. You know, so I want to know if you see anything in the future for that for me as far as me continuing to do stuff like that with children.
With you, Mary, I see you continue with the foundation. I don't see you stopping. The reason why, because I feel like your son's soul is inspiring you to move forward and do this work. You know, obviously, either one, this is a recent passing or from many years ago. But I feel like whatever the situation is for you, it's about kind of working with the right tools, meaning like with yourself, like getting the healing, going through the grieving process. Because it seems to me, obviously, you're still in that stage of grieving. And no one can ever tell anyone how to grieve or when to grieve, but we have to do it at a right time or at a right pace. And I think for you, it's about making sure that you're okay with it. But I don't see you having any issues of moving forward. I think it's about you getting the right tools. If it is going to be like, you know, working with other colleagues and other people, if it is for you know, working with different hospitals and charities and whatnot. But I believe you're going to do very well in the situation in honor of your son. But I want you to stay positive and knowing that you are going to make an impact not only in Calvin's spirit, your spirit, but many, many others as well.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely agree with AJ. This is just the beginning. And, you know, when it gets emotional, just know in a way that's really, really good because pushing through that emotion, experiencing that emotion, A, brings your son with you, but it also helps you heal through that process. And it helps how many other grieving parents heal, people that also connect to this and have experienced this, you know? And, yeah. I think there's such a sense. I think your son is just so proud of you, you know. And it's, you know, there's just kind of a couple ways to deal with things, and we can't say which one is better than the other. But some people can pull the covers over their head, and some people can go out and say, "I'm going to take this loss and change the world with it." And you've done the latter of the two, so it's definitely going to grow and keep growing. So absolutely.
Awesome. That's yeah. exactly what I wanted to hear. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah. You're going to make baseball jerseys, though. I think I keep saying, what is his number? I got to know this number.
His number is 10.
Thank you. I think I just keep seeing the 10 everywhere his little number is going to be everywhere. You're going to make little something about his jersey and this foundation come together.
Oh, wow. I love that. Okay. Yeah. Great.
So, Well, blessings to you, and know that Calvin is very, very, very much around you.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thank you, AJ and Colby, and thank you, Susan. I really appreciate it. It means a lot to me. It really does.
Good. You're welcome.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to take a break, and then we'll be right back. Hey, everyone. Calling Out with Susan Pinsky is sponsored by DrDrew.com. And this is where you can find all the other shows I produce, like This Life with Dr. Drew and Bob Forrest and Weekly Infusion. Also find all the shows Dr. Drew has all in one website. We bring it all there for you so you can find it easily. And then also we have everything that you need to know about Calling Out with Susan Pinsky at callingoutwithsusanpinsky.com. If you want to download the new app, just Google Calling Out with Susan Pinsky app and go to the iTunes link. We sincerely appreciate your support. So we're back, and that was really touching, but Jennifer was in tears. Poor thing. She was just sobbing. It was awful. I felt so bad. Me too. I was so...
Do you think it's because I was picking up on her feelings? Or
No, I mean, of course. Right. You guys are... Oh, what, Rex? What's the matter? We locked you out because you were farting through the whole thing?
Rex totally convinced me to give him a piece of cheese and salami.
I know.
And then
look,
the aftermath
He's been locked out. He may figure out how to get
it. He's really vocal right
poor,
now.
It was very serious, and I'm not laughing at what just transcribed, but honestly, that was the best reading that I've seen because you guys went right in. I'm sorry, Rex. You can't come back in. You have horrible gas. I'm sorry. I know.
I could deal with it. Let him in.
Okay, fine.
All right.
Colby's like, no.
Well, Colby did like she zoned right into the sun. And, you know, like afterwards, like, I was very honest. Like, I didn't get a strong link at all in the beginning. And then, you know, got bits and pieces. But I think part of it's just like once someone builds that bridge, a connection can happen, and I think that's what you did. You made a beautiful connection with her son.
Thanks,
yeah,
AJ.
I thought you guys were crying over here, but I think your eyes were watering from the dog fart.
it was pretty emotional.
I'm so sorry,
but
it was emotional.
It's emotional. I mean, this is, you know, you can see the love that her son had. Like, you can see the love.
Oh no, no. She emailed me. She said that she had lost her son, and and also her father-in-law. Like,
yeah.
And I was like, oh gosh, this is somebody who really needs to get in touch. And 6 months went by because, you know, I get emails and I get Facebook calls and I can't get to all of them.
Right.
It's good though, because that gave her some time to grieve and some time to be ready for this.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's divine timing.
I love the fact that she wanted to reach out, and I don't have a problem with that. Like, I literally call the first day when someone passes in my life and I'm like, okay, I need closure. Like, some people can't do it right away, but I think that it does give you a sense of calm and
absolutely.
And I've gotten a lot of really good advice over the years, you know, like when my dad died and stuff. But the dog dying wasn't as bad, you know. I knew it was her time, and she doesn't talk anyways. But it is really important that we know that they're happy in the next dimension. And I don't mean make fun of the dog, but he's just so annoying. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. But this is my podcast, so I can do what I want. All right. So, so Jennifer, I love the research that you did on this house, and I find this really fascinating. And I know that we want AJ to tell his information about what he saw and what he found interesting, because, you know, haunted houses are kind of, you know, always fun and everything, but the reality is that there are spirits there. And what, I mean,
right.
And only a few people can see that, and whether there are or not, you can tell us, yes, there are or they're not. So,
right. Well, you know, to answer that question, I would say there are spirits there, or at least the best I can say this is residual energy. There is energy there from servants, from Winchesters, you know, from everyone. I think it's from also the people that are walking in there as well. So we naturally attract energy no matter where we go. So even your home is probably the best place for it because of what you do here with the show and your husband and whatnot. So there's obviously a lot of energy that's here.
He has a bunch of dead people hanging around.
Right, that's what I mean. And so part of it is that you're going to attract that energy naturally. And it's weird because, like, for Jennifer, not quote-unquote being called a psychic or medium, but she mentioned that she smelled fire, but I don't think she mentioned anything, but she was on the other side of the room, which was like three bedrooms away. Because the way it was designed, it was one big room, but three bedrooms into one. And I smelled fire because she walked in before me. I go, I'm smelling cigars or fire or smoke and this and that. And I go, this is the area that burned down or something. So it's pretty amazing.
Well, you're very intuitive and you're also
cognizant.
You're a bit psychic as well.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I think we all are, but mine is more of a knowing. Mm-hmm. So when you talk about claircognizance, it's something that I don't have to meditate on. I just know it. So, you know, to have the confirmation is always nice because...
Yeah, it's always nice because they're like, yeah, I might be a little bit like that.
You are, definitely. Yeah, you are. You wouldn't be doing this show.
Right.
Well, you know.
Yeah, I mean, well, I wouldn't like put myself out there, and I'd much rather say I'm like a writer or something else other than like a clairvoyant or claircognizant. But yeah, I mean, I think it's
I kind of wish I could see dead people. I think that would be fun.
I think you get scared.
You know, to be quite honest, I don't actually see dead people. I don't. I rarely see dead people. It's more so my own frame of reference of how I see them.
Right, right. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. I see them, but not always.
Yeah, exactly.
It just depends.
Well, here's the thing, too. You know, when you're talking about energy just in itself, whether you're talking about apparition or a haunting or a ghost or whatever, say you walk into a room that people have not been in for a few hours. But when they were in there, they were arguing, yelling, feeling anguish, feeling anxiety. Now they're gone, right? And you walk into the room and you just feel this like unsettling, weirdness.
I get that.
And so when you're talking about residual energy, a lot of people think that that can be attributed to hauntings. And I don't think it's always the case. I mean, there are so many people who walk through that home on a daily basis on those tours. Who knows if you're not picking up on somebody else's crap?
So they didn't clear the house out. They just had these 30 people in a ballroom. We were going to get there. You went into the ballroom, and you said that you had, you know,
I had to do readings for like 32 different people. Well, obviously not all.
How did they get those? Like, how did they have the opportunity?
It was through a
charity for brain.
The Valle Monte League, which is for brain cancer, and so I went down there to. You know, basically donate time and energy and something that was going to benefit them and help them out. And, you know, these were all members. And, you know, the age range from what, at least from 25 and up, some of these people that were there. And
they didn't want to, like, go on a ghost tour with you in the house.
They didn't want to do a ghost hunt.
That's weird.
They mainly wanted to just
do
the
They wanted to talk to honor her.
They wanted to honor her, but, you know, do like...
Was there anything else in the house that stood out? I mean, I don't give a shit about your... 30 people on your dinner party.
Right, because we can't bring that here. So,
right.
Yeah.
No, but was there anything else that like stood out to you that you found really interesting? And it's really funny. They've only had three clairvoyants. One was Sylvia Brown, and she probably screwed it for
everybody. Yes, honey. What? He's tall. He has dark eyes, dark hair.
Yeah, and you're going to die next week.
Yeah.
Well, no,
they have three clairvoyants that have done events there, I guess, by them. But there's been like, you know, different TV shows like Ghost Adventures that gone there and this and that. But, you know, none of it has been actually really valid or done the right way that they wanted to do. So, which is why they don't allow TV shows to go in there and do stuff like that. Because I brought all my paranormal equipment. All my paranormal equipment to investigate and to do all that stuff. And they did not want me to do that because they wanted to keep it light and positive and this and that. But some amazing responses with some of the devices that I have, which is why I'm saying that Colby, all of us should do an event somewhere at a haunted location and do a show live there and do an investigation. Yeah, I think it would be fun, right?
Well,
when we were in the
ballroom, one thing that really stood out to me because she liked Homer and Shakespeare. And in the grand ballroom, she had two stained glass windows, one saying, "Wide, unclasp the table of their thoughts." And on the other side saying, "These same thoughts people this little world." Now, the first quote is from like King Arthur or something like that in Shakespeare, where this person is imprisoned. Mm-hmm. And so I really had a huge takeaway from that, because when you're talking about these same thoughts, people, this little world, it's almost like what we think and what we are and how we exist and when we give birth and when we have children and whatever, our thoughts are impressionable.
Yeah.
And so she's saying, widen class your thoughts. Let's get into your thoughts and your mind and walk through my home as this maze, this labyrinth.
Maybe it was about people judging her.
Oh, perhaps. No, it was, Colby. You know it was. Yes. Absolutely, Colby. Like,
because your thoughts people this little world.
Yeah.
And so for me, she was complex.
Yeah. She was judged by everyone. Yeah. People in the community thought she was different. She was weird. She was crazy.
Billions of dollars.
Like there was I posted a photo, and I'm going to send you the photo so you can use, on my Instagram. And this lady, who her grandfather lived across the street and whatnot, she goes, my grandfather used to play there all the time, this and that. And she goes, she wasn't crazy as what people think she was. And so
she looks crazy because she has a maze of staircases that go nowhere.
Yeah.
She has a staircase within a staircase.
But the sad part, I saw the comment.
Sounds like
today.
My friend Allison Alanis.
Oh, just call her out. Allison.
Let's hear her shit.
@Allison on Twitter.
Here's her social handle.
Hashtag crazy. Like no.
She actually was an amazing, Susan, like, art. She would build houses like that because her husband owns casinos and stuff. So, like, they built their house like a casino. It reminds me of a casino.
Wow.
You know, like, people that have that kind of creative ability,
right?
Build for no reason.
Well, she built for 30, almost 40 years nonstop. I mean, what was she building? I think. That's I feel like
that's that fifth glass of wine.
No, dare you? My mother would be very proud. Embarrassed. No, I believe that she was building staircases to the heavens or ascension.
Aren't we all?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because like once you go up the
buying her stairway,
and then we cue to the TV show. All right,
karaoke by First Lady of Love, right there on Love Jams 101 Chateau.
I love you, Allison Alanis.
No, but I mean, if this was the case that she was actually building layers of this secret code to the heavens, or because they say she was spiritual, they never said she was religious.
Yeah,
so I obviously can't say the gods, but
because she would have had to give all her money to the church if she was religious.
Perhaps,
right?
But yeah. I feel like sanctuary.
It kind of reminds me of Michael Jackson. It reminds me of the same kind of thing. A lot of money, can't be out in public. Has like doesn't have any naysayers, obviously, because they all work for her and make money from
her. Right.
And she was like a rock star on some level.
Yeah, absolutely.
And she was just, this is how she kept herself happy. Like, okay, let's build another wing. You know, this is fun.
But so much loss.
And she's probably so lonely. And, you know, and nothing beats loneliness like a project,
yes,
right?
Absolutely.
Well, you got to think,
and some hot Latinos to help you.
Well, you got to think too. That's why she held seances every night, because she was so lonely, trying to connect with her husband, with her daughter. You know, so she was trying to do so much. The Japanese landscaper. I think they still kept.
Well,
the,
I mean, it is a total labyrinth. I mean, I don't know what that means, but they say that like you're supposed to develop and hone into your own intuition. If you can take the test of being subjected to a maze or a labyrinth or whatnot, then you as the student or the novice is supposed to take away from something so much more, and then you pass the test.
Oh.
But I don't know if this is what she was giving us.
Absolutely.
Or if it was in her own mind.
Oh.
Maybe.
Yeah.
You're very intuitive, so I like your take on it.
But she's a very special lady. Yeah. And I'm glad to meet her. Glad to have the opportunity.
Yeah, I felt so
like,
humbled.
Wait, did you
to
talk to
her?
Oh, she said the roses. She sent you the roses.
Well,
yeah.
Even amazing too.
Okay, but was there anything else?
Well, during the seance, I was doing the reading. I had no idea about all this information. One of the tour guides and Jennifer told me, like, all the information I was bringing through that no one could claim.
Yeah, he was like, the lock of hair, I don't understand. Well, it said that she had a lock of her husband and her daughter's hair.
Oh, I was going to say her daughter.
In the safe.
Oh, see.
And so I was bringing that up. I brought up the month, I think, when she died or whatever. And so a lot of things came through that I had no idea that was related. And no one was able to claim it. And I'm like, oh, all right, whatever. You know, whatever it goes to. And then the tour guide and Jennifer, they told me, I'm like, that was
right.
Sarah Winchester
you
that was there
the story.
And she was so happy to kind of have a party back in her grand ballroom again. So
sure.
It was so beautiful. It was
well,
such
that's
a
the
beautiful
whole point.
Time.
I mean, to come, I was humbled and I felt like there was
but they won't
much
believe you because there's that's the story.
Right, exactly.
They don't know that you don't know the story.
Exactly,
It's like you have to stand up and tell everybody you didn't take the time to read the story. And
exactly, right.
Right, and neither did I. So my experience when I went and researched it thereafter, I was shocked that I was like, wow, it is geometric and it is a story of our existence in life.
No, she sounds very cool and
complex.
Eccentric, but it is kind of a – I mean, we still have problems with rifles in this country, and I'm sure that they took a lot more shit back then, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And plus, we were building railroads, and we were finding – San Jose is not far from San Francisco.
Nope.
So there was a gold rush. There was all that stuff going on in the building of the railroads. So, you know, she was a multimillionaire, maybe – more
right
and
back then
it's got to be lonely seriously
100% and then losing your love
your husband and your child and the father
was she cursed we don't know
and that's a whole theory like is it a curse is it a spell
is it just tragedy
it's like
a tragedy but at the same time is it part of a soul contract because she built this place and created something that we're still talking about all these years later and trying to figure it out.
Yes. And plus, she's still providing work for all these people.
And spiritual work as well.
Right?
And bringing awareness to psychic mediumship, certainly.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
I mean, when you're talking about spiritualism and the occult and whatnot, she really was kind of the pioneer of all of that.
Wow.
Well, her and the Fox sisters.
And the Fox sisters.
Right?
That's
you know
true.
Are the ones on Drunk History? The Fox sisters.
You three girls?
Yeah,
maybe.
They were
you three girls?
No, I don't know if they...
You three girls? Yes, I'll call you guys the Fox sisters.
I don't know if the Fox... I mean, I might have missed that episode.
You know it, baby.
You know it, AJ.
I missed
or
that
a floater
episode.
Or whatever.
No, the Fox sisters, they
yeah,
were...
Yeah, they had... That was on Drunk History.
Oh,
it was one of the
okay,
episodes.
Okay.
It's the only one they did on Psychic Mediums, and it was like a big scam.
Yeah.
And it...
They were like table rap. That's another episode. That's another episode.
I think it's
full circle for me, AJ. Today's episode is courtesy of Drunk History, and you have to watch the episode with the Fox sisters because they talk about how in those days these girls were psychic.
You know Fox being six?
Yeah, but it was
but, it turned
but
out
that was their last name. And they were saying so I know this story a bit because I had to learn it for Lisa Williams.
Lisa Williams.
Yes.
Right?
And
they were
alright. So they definitely started out hearing knocks and it did find out that there was truth and evidence to it, but at that time there was a lot of scrutiny and they had to recant it, and so they did recant it and then it was perceived as a scam, but they later said, you know, we were told to recant, we needed to recant for these reasons, and actually at the end of it when they dug up the floorboards there was a traveler who they found him underneath. There was a body underneath the house buried.
Oh, really?
Yes. So, and I went to the house. I went there. It's,
are you
it's
serious?
Not, yes, I went there.
What?
I went to the place, saw the place. Yeah, it was very, very crazy. So,
imagine and doing a podcast live from there.
It would be pretty nuts. but do you mind if I say one little shout out today?
Yeah, sure.
Today, my uncle passed away today.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
And he was an architect and he did blueprints. And
what?
How weird.
She had no blueprints.
And,
isn't that interesting?
And so it's just, you know, I do want to, you know, he's a great uncle. I loved him so, so much. And
sweetheart.
I just feel like it's only appropriate to say hi.
Hi. Well, because that's what I think.
Yeah.
Wow.
Did he like cattle?
No, I don't think so.
I think we figured that one out.
I think
that was Kentucky Derby.
Is it like a Texas Longhorn thing? Because when you say cattle, I see like the outlawing, the outlawing.
Well, you said horses, outlawing. And then we figured out it was Kentucky. Right. So I'm
like Connecticut or something. Are you talking Jersey now? Yeah. You must be channeling on the outlawing.
Was your uncle like a father figure, like a...
He, you know, it in a lot of ways, especially when I was younger, but he looked like Magnum P.I.
He really did, and super...
Like he should wrestle cattle.
He's super, but just a real nice, nice guy. And sweetie. Always just
what
sweet.
What was his name?
George Henry.
Oh, George Henry. Henry.
Yeah, so...
Henry?
George Henry.
Henry Rifle.
Henry Rifle. Henry Winchester.
Yeah, so it's pretty, you know, it's a little sad, but, you know, it's
how old
just
was
life.
He?
Oh, my God. You know, honestly, it. I believe young, like 66.
Wow.
Same time I
Smoker?
No, gosh, no. He was, this was him, obviously, years ago, but he was, he had suffered a stroke around Thanksgiving, I believe it was.
Wow.
And just really kind of just had some ailments from there on. Just didn't quite really recover from that.
That's
but
really young.
But my family is so supportive of this work. And
that's awesome.
Colby, love to your uncle.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. Thank you for coming today.
Oh, yeah.
I really
appreciate absolutely.
It.
Thank you.
Okay. So Jennifer has a couple more notes and then we're going to wrap this up.
All right, so there is quite the psychobabble in my notes, but I will leave you with this. Visiting the Winchester House, it was an event of exploration and a journey of discovery that left me inspired and wanting more, mesmerized with the questions of mythology and the occult. Staircases like the Tower of Babel and questions of Genesis ring of the echoes of the wonder in my mind. As well, the amount of windows and the locations of these leads time to believe that the natural illumination defeated the oil lamps and pre-electricity of time. The way, the love, the light, to heavens above, the gods before us and of us, I am humbled.
It's beautiful.
It is beautiful. Yeah. Very beautiful.
With that being said, so it is.
Thank you
listening
to Calling Out.
Thanks for listening to Calling Out with Susan Pinsky. Follow Susan on Twitter or Instagram at First Lady of Love. And check callingoutwithsusanpinsky.com for all the latest info and links to our cast of clairvoyants.